former Clemson football. Stop me if you hear this on a daily basis. Former Clemson football captain and now college football analyst for the ACC Network, Eric McLean. I get called freaking captain all the time, Eric.
No, you get called All-American. He's an All-American, Eric. That's what we call him. We don't call him the captain.
Well, maybe it's Steak that does that. Anyways, man, we're not going to pivot to all that mess right now. Eric, I did you know, I want to get to a bunch of college football, ACC stuff, talk about the big matchups this weekend, but we were all live from down at Echo Park Speedway just a couple of months ago, and I saw you from a distance. You know, when you're like 6'4", 6'5", everybody that stands at that height kind of, you know, lock eyes. Saw that beautiful beard of yours and that beautiful bald head. What'd you have going down? What'd you have going on down at Echo Park Speedway, man? We didn't get a chance to catch up with you.
Yeah, well, first of all, what the heck, man? You got to come over and link up next time that we see each other. And yeah, we were down there with Team Spire, man. They reached out to me and just kind of wanted to, you know, let me have that experience, see that experience. It was my first race ever, which was amazing, and to do a night race in Atlanta. You know, hanging out with the crew chief all day and the driver and, you know, just kind of seeing that, man, I'm a NASCAR fan for life now. That was incredible. And, you know, all they do is go in circles, right? Wrong. You know, there's so much strategy and so much, you know, just training and, you know, when to take your shot, when to pit, when to not, how many tires, all these different things. It was fascinating to be able to see it from that perspective. And then like the amount of fuel, do you come into fuel, do you push it, all these things, and then to see the pit crew as well. I mean, big, strong, fast dudes. It was really cool to see.
That's awesome, man. It's crazy that your first race being a Clemson guy. You guys are over there in Speedway territory. I saw Joey Logano stop by the Clemson facility the other day, which was really, really cool. But that's awesome. Glad you had fun with that. Obviously we'll catch up on a lot of things, but what are you looking most forward to this week? Don't even mention LSU Clemson yet. All right, we'll get there. Other than
are
that,
they playing? Is that looking, happening?
What are you looking most forward to other than that?
Yeah, just the magnitude of this week, man. I mean, I'm a college football fan. I love this game. I love this sport. And for there to be as many big games as there are, and for a majority of them to be including an ACC team, it's amazing, man. And so, you know, we'll obviously be at the Clemson game. The next day we're flying down to Miami, so we'll be with Miami and Notre Dame. And, you know, then Monday night, Chapel Bill's playing for the first time ever. You got, you know, Cuse in Tennessee and Virginia Tech and South Carolina, and I'm sure I'm missing some. But it is a jam-packed weekend, you know, in the ACC, but for college football in general. And I'm just so excited we're back, dude. I know we had, you know, week zero last week, but this is the real deal. This is the big boys, and it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend, man.
All right, let's get into it. How are you feeling, Eric, about the matchup between LSU and Clemson tomorrow?
Yeah, I feel great. You know, when you look at the experience of this team and the fact that it's at home, it's in Death Valley, they have an experienced offensive line, I think the best defensive line in college football, and they're going against an LSU O-line that has really five new starters. They have one guy that went from center last year to guard this year. So replacing four new guys, going against that is going to be a tall task. And I respect Garrett Nussmeier. I think he's the second best quarterback in the country. He's going to have a long day. He's going to have to run for his life. He's going to get hit a bunch. He'll have to get the ball out quick. LSU is going to try to do something to slow down this pass rush, and I just don't know if it's going to work. And you know, you got T.J. Parker, you know, Peter Woods, who, you know, those both guys are mocked in the top five every mock draft you look at. Then you add in Will Held at the defensive end position that, you know, Clemson added from Purdue, just casually 6'6", 275 on the other side. I imagine he's going to get a lot of single blocks, a lot of one-on-ones, and he's going to win those. And so I'm just thrilled to see this team, see this defense improve. And ultimately just be in the valley. I mean, it's going to be rocking. We pulled in yesterday on Wednesday, and it's already packed. The buzz is already here. It's just one of those games that you know, hope you get to see once in a lifetime, and we'll get to see it Saturday night.
Ooh, yes, let's go.
Wait, if you have Nussmeier as the second-best quarterback in college football, out of curiosity, who do you have as the first? And is he also playing in this game?
He's also playing in this game. He's the AP first team All-American, Cade Klubnik. It's not just me. It's the rest of the world, too. And this guy is, man, he's dynamic. You know, his touchdown to interception ratio a year ago was just insane. This guy had drastically improved from his sophomore to junior year. And I still think there's another step he can go. You know, I think his red zone efficiencies can, you know, get better, and that will just elevate Clemson and his game to another level. And then, you know, just his continued pocket presence. He is so dangerous with his legs. I mean, we saw him have a 50-yard walk-off quarterback draw against Pittsburgh, who has All-Americans on their defense this year. All the different things that Clemson has going for him, it's going to be a great battle.
Former Clemson Tiger, current ACC analyst Eric McClain joining us here on the morning shift. All right, let's talk about the team here in Atlanta, Georgia Tech. You know, Haynes King coming back for what seeming like his ninth year in college football. he's holding off a kid we think is pretty good, Aaron Filo, at quarterback. But yeah, there's a lot of Tech fans that are excited, Eric. It's really a good feeling here with Brent Key. Why should Tech fans really believe in this program right now?
Man, for two of those reasons you just said, you know, and really three because of Coach Key as well. But I'm a big Jacket fan this year, man, and have been, just the way that Coach Key has built this program. He does it from the inside out. He got those lines of scrimmage right. There is a pipeline there. You've got five-star players committing on the offensive line to come and play for him. And I think that young man's going to have a big opportunity this year. It might not be game one that he's the starter, but I guarantee by the end of the year he will be at either tackle position there. And then just to see, you know, Haynes King, you know, a gritty, gritty guy that has just fought, clawed, and has emerged as, you know, one of the best leaders, one of the, you know, best players in college football. And, you know, Georgia Tech is a very popular sleeper pick, just countrywide, not just in the ACC. You know, Kirk Herbstreit just did his Herbie Awards the other day, and Georgia Tech was that team for him amongst a lot of others. So I think the way the schedule shakes out, obviously you have Clemson and Georgia on there, and you always will. But they've got a chance, man, and I think they open up tonight with a statement. I think they dominate Colorado, and it starts in the trenches.
Hey, Eric, I got to ask you about Carson Beck. Since he left Georgia, what are your expectations for him this year?
Yeah, I think he bounces back. It's a great question, and you know, there's a couple of different reasons. A, I just don't really think he ever fit at Georgia, right? I mean, this guy's driving around a Lamborghini in Athens. You drive around a Lamborghini in Miami, that's like a Honda Civic anywhere else. You're just a regular guy, right? Like, he's blended in and doing just fine in Miami. But you look at the play, and we ask about the struggles and you know, why did it go the way it did? And, you know, I talked to Aaron Murray, my co-host on Mac and Murray there, and he says, you know, he got into issues, or he ran into trouble when he tried to be Superman. He tried to do too much. And I said, okay, Aaron, that's great. Why did he have to do that? Because he had a lackluster offensive line compared to what Georgia's used to, because he didn't have the run game. That's the standard at Georgia. So it all fell on his shoulders. And some guys just, they're not ready for that. They're not meant for that, or they don't have the personnel around it. He also, I believe, Georgia led the country in drops last year, catchable balls. And so to me, what does he have in Miami? He's got a superhuman offensive line, massive guys, draft picks. You look at Francis Maui-Noah at the right tackle position. He's been a top five pick since he was born. That guy's 6'6", 340, like 10% body fat. I mean, it's freaky when you see him. And on the other side, you've got an NBA center in Mark Bell that is 6'9" with like a 20-foot wingspan. It's monsters that are going to be in front of him and be protecting him. And then you look at the running backfield, and they're four deep, and they feel like they've got a really explosive unit. They did it last year. And so for me, Carson has the ability, and I don't mean this in a negative sense. I know it frequently is used that way in today's game, but all he has to be is a game manager. If I see two high safeties check to a run, if I see a protection bus slide to that certain way, if there's an overload of the defense, go through my reads, 1, 2, 3, check it down. That's all you have to do, is operate the Shannon Dawson offense. It does not have to be as sexy and as fun as all the arm angles and the you know, no-look passes and the behind-the-back passes as Cam Ward was a year ago. He just has to operate that thing as called, and I think he will. And I think this offense, again, might not be as cool-looking. I think it's going to be way more efficient, which ultimately does that win to bigger wins and to longer playing in the postseason.
Finishing up here with Eric McClain, ACC Network analyst. Eric, one more thing before we let you go. Obviously, the big game here in town tomorrow at noon is going to be Tennessee against Syracuse. Probably a good amount of Tennessee fans here already, I would have to assume, and maybe some Syracuse fans as well. Tell these Tennessee fans what they're getting into when they face off against Syracuse at noon tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got a new quarterback, right? And Steve Angeli transferring over from Notre Dame, and you know, has been a guy that has – got some opportunity, but mostly has had to wait his turn. And, you know, we saw him in a playoff game against Georgia where Notre Dame could not move the ball. They just couldn't do anything functionally on offense. And, you know, Riley Leonard gets, you know, some type of injury for a couple of drives, and he comes in and marches down the field and scores, you know, and was able to really get the passing game alive. You know, that was probably the biggest struggle of a Notre Dame team that played in a national championship. The passing offense just was average. It was not superb. But then when he went in, man, it got a lot of juice. So you're thinking, okay, is this guy pick up exactly where Kyle McCord left off? And that's just throwing for more than anybody in the entire country. I think they're still going to want to throw the ball a ton. They love their wide receiver core and got a couple of transfers, former five-star guys coming in that they feel that are ready to take a step. Some guys that maybe just needed one more shot, and this is kind of the last one, and can they make the most of it? I think they kind of mindset-wise have that. And so they're all coming together for a common purpose, common goal. It's going to be a tall task, obviously, going against this Tennessee defense that I think is going to be really good. But on the other side, I mean, who the heck are the Vols on offense? I don't know if they know. Mm. You know, their team last year is at UCLA and in the NFL in regards to production and what they did. And so, you know, with a quarterback coming in post-spring that is now your starter, that's a big deal. That's a very short window and small amount of time for a guy to come in to, A, you know, earn the trust of his teammates, B, to get a functional look at what this offense is going to want to be. So I'm fascinated to see, is this a low-scoring, rock fight, first team to make a mistake loses? You know, the spread a couple days ago when we were doing a show, I think was 14. I said hammer Syracuse on that. I don't think there's any way that the Vols, you know, get more than that. Now, if it's moved, it'll be interesting, but I feel good about Cuse keeping it close and maybe having a shot at the end.
That's ACC Network analyst Eric McLean. Look, I would say come join us at the tailgate at Echo Park Speedway next time, but it sounds like you had a pretty good setup. But we'll catch up with you at some point, man. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, I'd love that. Anytime, man. Appreciate y'all having me on, and have a great show.